Orioles have been incredibly active this offseason, but are there more moves to come? Maybe a big move to come. Let's bring on Andy Koska, covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner, and joins us now. And Andy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So there's been some smoke out there about a potential big move to come. Do you see a big move still to come?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me, first off. It's going to be competitive, right? There's, you know, a couple big names still on the market, pitching wise, thinking of Framber Valdez and Ranger Suarez. And I guess, you know, Zach Gallen would be in that mix as well. So competition for that, but I do see Baltimore acquiring at least one more starter. And when I say one more starter, I imagine a, you know, quote unquote, big name starter, you know, of the likes of Ranger Suarez. Definitely still could be a trade. Baltimore has plenty in its, you know, farm system at this point. I realize they just, you know, traded four guys for Shane Baz, but there's still plenty remaining. So I do think they have plenty of moves left, realistically, you know, not just with the rotation. They probably have another reliever in the mix, and who knows, maybe an outfielder, but they have checked some big boxes, you know, Pete Alonso, Ryan Helsley. There's still a big one to check, which would be kind of that ceiling raising starting pitcher, an ace quality guy who can fit in alongside Bradish and Rogers.
Well, Andy, if the Orioles were to trade any guys off their major league roster, a lot of fans have pointed to Coby Mayo, maybe Ryan Mountcastle. But assuming they make that move, and let's just say they bring in a Ranger Suarez, would it surprise you if Dean Kramer could get traded at that point?
You know, I hadn't considered until 5 seconds ago when you just said it. It's not outside the realm of possibility. You know, I think teams recognize the value that Dean Kramer brings. And, you know, like he's a, you know, maybe he's not the flashiest pitcher of all time, right? But it definitely is a stable number four or number five in your rotation. And he eats innings, and a lot of teams could be interested in that. He's arbitration eligible, so he's still cost controlled. Absolutely. I mean, the danger there, just like it was, you know, somewhat dangerous trading Grayson Rodriguez, is if you trade from your depth, you better go out and get another depth starter. Dean Kramer has proven, I think part of the trade with Grayson, while you got rid of 4 years of team control for Taylor Ward, it was hard to know exactly health-wise what he would look like and when. Dean Kramer, you know, he has looked pretty, you know, kind of what you're getting with Dean Kramer. You know, about a 4-some ERA, 160-plus innings. And you feel pretty good about that. So that'd be a tough sell. But again, if you're going to say, if you're going to get a high-level piece, like a, you know, make up a name, you know, Freddie Peralta, right? The Brewers might be interested in a cost-controlled guy like Dean Kramer, especially with what he's shown already. But that would be a tough pill to swallow. They have more surplus in position players at this exact point, especially at first base. But again, I mean, prices are high, you know, be it on the trade market or free agent market. So you're going to have to part with pieces you like if you are trading for people. We saw, like, did Baltimore want to trade Slater to Brown? Probably not, right? But if you're going to land Shane Baz, that's kind of the cost of doing business.
Well, sort of along those lines, I've been thinking, because we knew we were going to have you on, and Bone brought up, you know, major league option Dean Kramer to trade. I've been thinking more about people like Kowser and Wells. You know, Kowser, do you need him batting eighth, like, for power, right? Because from a hitting profile, it's power. It's not on base. It's not average. It's a lot of K. It's unknown defense at center field every single day. And I don't think he's batting high in this lineup. He'd bat higher in somebody else's lineup. He might feature more prominently in somebody else's lineup. And you add Ward, you add Alonso. We think Gunner's, you know, power funk from last year is going to be at least somewhat behind him. Adley's got to hit more extra base hits next year then. So I wonder if he's more expendable. And then you brought up Grayson. For me, I wonder if they trade Wells because, look, we haven't figured him out yet. We might never figure him out. He's still youngish. He's definitely cheap. He could close for somebody. He could be a middle of the rotation starter for somebody. Like, if it's Freddy Peralta, I could see a team like Milwaukee being interested in an arm like Wells and somebody like Kelsey.
Yeah, I do. I definitely see, you know, Tyler Wells probably of the starters on the team right now. I imagine he would generate trade interest because, as you said, I mean, big arm, right?
Yep.
Possibly, you know, could do a swingman role, a closer role. He could start. You know, there's a lot of different opportunities for Tyler Wells. I think Cade Povich too.
Yes.
Young,
yes.
Controllable lefty. I mean, yep. I realize that he's had some brilliant moments in the majors so far. He's had some poor moments in the majors. That's a classic, yes. Young starting pitcher who hasn't done that. But the fact that he's a lefty increases his value, and obviously the amount of team control. There's teams out there that will be looking at Cade Povich as an option. A name that really is you know, has popped up a couple of times earlier this offseason. I haven't really checked in the last month on this particular one, but Dylan Beavers is definitely.
I don't like that one, Andy. Let's not do that.
Well, I acknowledge that, but you know, just from a point of what teams like, Dylan Beavers is a name that they're like, wow, we could get a guy for six seasons or five seasons, whatever it would be. And he can play a pretty good corner outfield, and his bat seems like it transitions really well to major leagues, both from a on-base percentage and a flash of power every now and then. So that's something to consider. But teams will ask high, right? If you're in a trade conversation, you may as well as a buy or as a selling team, you may as well ask for the world and see what you can, you know, what you get talked down into. Towser is a I would push back slightly on a characterization. I completely agree with you that last year it was definitely more of a power-oriented player. I do think when Towser is at his best, though, that's not him. And I do think the addition of Taylor Ward takes pressure off of, and the addition of Pete Alonso, takes pressure off of Gunnar and Adley and Towser saying, hey, they don't have to hit 30 homers. I mean, if they do, that's great, right? Like, that'd be awesome. But that doesn't have to be. Gunnar can hit 45 doubles and you're like, oh, awesome. You know, you don't have to necessarily just hit homers. And I think when I think of Kowser, and I look back at him at Sam Houston State and him in the minors, I think he kind of morphed more into this full side power guy last year. I really do think that when he's going at his best, it's opposite field contact oriented. So with just that in mind, I think him in the eighth spot, if he gets back to more of a contact oppo, you know, with some speed on the base pass, that's fine. Again, it's a big question mark, as you said, and with defense in center field. I mean, do you trust him 100, you know, 30 games in center with maybe Leody Taveras as a backup or they go out and get somebody else as a backup center fielder? I don't know yet. That's a big question mark, both sides of the game for him. But I don't know necessarily if I am as willing to pass on him. He's so young. He is. We've seen what he can do. In certain situations when he focuses on opposite field contact. I'd like to see what that looks like. Do I necessarily trust the defense for everyday center field? Cedric Mullins level? Probably not, right? But he's at this point probably league average in center, so he's probably not costing you too many games. It's just there's probably not the high-level center defense that you've gotten used to.
Talking with Andy Koskis, Inside Access here on the Fan. Let's close with this. You mentioned they need to add to the bullpen. Does a reunion with Danny Coulomb make sense to you?
Oh, a lot of sense. It makes so much sense. Most likely 1 year deal. Probably could do it for $5 million. Doesn't break the bank. You need a lefty ideally. They've kind of added, with Kittredge and Helsley, you like what you're doing with, with the righties in the bullpen. But right now there's a little bit of a gap with a high leverage lefty. So I definitely like the idea of a Danny Coulomb, clubhouse guy. He's loved there. So you have that major advantage as well. He's walking into a group that he already has a good rapport with. And, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We'll see if it happens.
Andy Koska covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. Always great, Andy. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Coming up next, by the way, we got TMI coming up at 3:30. But next, hey, we talk about the three teams that most Baltimoreans love in this town. Well, the Orioles were disappointing. The Ravens were disappointing. Well, we got Maryland basketball. And they're coming off another ugly game against
Buzz is flexing.
Oregon.
Flexing in the locker room.
Yeah, but the coach is in great shape. We'll talk Terps next here on The Fan.